And now, welcome to Who's Talking with D.G. Martin. Who's Talking, featuring interesting guests from our community on News Talk 1360 WCATL. Now, here is D.G. Martin.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. If the husband is a top coach for the Carolina Tar Heels, the wife is an ordained minister and respected theologian. What in the world do they talk about over the dinner table? And what can football and religion, or the enthusiast football and religion, what can we or what can they learn from each other? And to help me deal with those questions and to answer some of them, I've asked the Reverend Dr. Marcia Mount Shoup, who is the theologian in residence at the University Presbyterian Church, to join me and to bring her husband, John Shoup, who is the offensive coordinator for the Tar Heel football team and also the quarterback coach, to come and just have a conversation with us. So welcome, and Marcia and John, what do you all talk about over the dinner table?
Well, thanks for having us, DG. It's really great to be here, and this is a rare opportunity to, I don't know, to air our conversation out to the public. So we'll see how it goes. The interesting thing about the way you introduced us is the tension that you put out there about how do religion and sports converse with one another, and how isn't this such a strange coupling here, this football coach
well,
and theologian?
Is it?
And the interesting thing is, I think from our perspective, and John can agree or disagree, is that we are so alike.
Oh, really?
Yes, we are in many, many ways. And I think the places where we're different are probably another topic. The places where we're the same are really why this conversation around sports and religion will have any interesting content whatsoever, because this is not just us talking about some things that interest us. This is the life that we've lived and that we are living. And one of the things we decided is the way we'll introduce each other is to let people know some things they don't know. You know, John, when I met John, he was thinking about going into the ministry. And it was between coaching and the ministry. And we had a lot of common conversation and discernment around vocational questions, and coaching for him is a ministry. So, I mean, you can.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. It has become that, I like to think, to a degree. But also, it's important to realize other ways that we're alike. I mean, Marcia was a great athlete in high school and in college, and she's in Center College's Athletic Hall of Fame. She was nominated for the Female National Woman Athlete of the Year.
I noticed she was a cross-country star.
That's right. She ran cross-country and middle distances and track, and is is the best athlete in our family. There's no doubt. And so I think that she's right that there's an awful lot of common ground in sports and theology, and those are things that we've been wrestling with for since we've known each other, since 1990, and, you know, 20 years now. And our conversations have to do with sports, have to do with religion, and everything in between.
Well, is your wife both some athletes are athletes and then move on to something else, and some are devoted sports fans till the day they die.
Right.
And how does your wife fit into that?
Well, Marcia's an avid sports fan.
Wait, let me interrupt. Because people say that to me. They say, oh, you're a sports fan. And I say, no, I'm a coach's wife. And I think those are two different things. I've always loved sports. I am not as competitive as I used to be. I just have more a little spiritual awareness, perhaps, than I used to about what competition is. I still like to win. I still
achieve.
Yes, I care about the games a lot, but it's different than being a fan. I care about the games because the person that I love the most in the world pours so much into that, and it affects where we're going to live, how we can raise our kids. You know, it affects so much about our lives that I do care deeply. And I spend the game in prayer, you know, not, please, Lord, let us win so my husband and I'll get to stay here, but, Lord, just surround John with your light, you know, keep him grounded so he can do his best work, and mostly that he can enjoy it. And my prayer is always that he can enjoy his work because it is such a big part of him. So I don't think I'm a sports fan. I think I care deeply about sports, but I think I'm a coach's wife, and that's a little different. But
I get that difference totally, and I appreciate it. I would echo you. Your prayers and our fellowship really throughout our lives, but especially during the season, have really helped me feel grounded in something deeper than wins and losses. And I think one of the most vulnerable positions anybody can be in sports is being the play caller for a football team. Whether it's in the NFL or big-time college, you're pretty vulnerable and you're basically setting yourself up to be second-guessed. That's the deal. If it works, it's a good call. And if it doesn't, well, there'll be 100 callers that'll tell you what you should have run. And having our relationship has really helped me to be grounded in something much greater than whether we win the game, whether we lose the game, how many yards we had. And I do find peace with Marcia's help and a job well done sometimes when even the score might not be what we had hoped for.
Well, it's interesting that there is a question, I think, about the how religion surrounds the lives of coaches and players. And there's we see it as sports fans and observers of sports. Many different coaches have apparently deep religious beliefs and feelings, but they're often different. Although Marcia says she doesn't pray to win for you to win the game as so much as to bring God into the partnership in some respects. But do you find that there's a difference in perspectives, and are some of the religious beliefs and expression of those beliefs sometimes make you uncomfortable? Are you comfortable with all?
Right. Well, I think one of the greatest things about sports, and especially team sports, is the diversity within a team. And on our team and in every team that I've been a part of, there's been people of every race and color, economic, socio background, mm-hmm. and religion. I've coached on teams with conservative Christians, Muslims, atheists, and everything in between. And sometimes in that ambiguity, sometimes in that diversity, not sometimes, often, in that is where I find God. And that's what I really, really like about the team concept of sports, is that you're in a place where God's not in a box. You're in a place where you experience spirituality in a lot of different ways. And that's where I find God, is in that diversity, in that ambiguity, within a lot of different types of religious thoughts. And each one of them I really appreciate. And I think have helped me become... It continues to help me to become the person that I think God hopes for me to be.
It is a challenge, though, and this is something that we've struggled with. because, and I think culturally what we see in the American religious context is that religion and sports, what that means to people mostly is conservative evangelical Christianity in sports. And what we've found is that you can't caricature it that way. That, yes, you could look sociologically and say that many of the groups, like FCA or Athletes in Action, mm-hmm. Campus Crusade for Christ, yes, those were and are mostly energized from a particular perspective of what Christianity is. And I have found great opportunities in those situations to be in dialogue with my brothers and sisters in Christ that might see things differently than I do, but to be in dialogue around this common thing that we have, this team or this love of sport or whatever it is. But the challenge, I think, comes from assumptions and caricatures that people tend to make about, oh, you're Christian and you're an athlete, you must be this. Or you say you're Christian but you don't think this way, well, then you must be this. And I think some of the way God has used John and me in these contexts is just to blur the boundaries a little bit and say, you know, yeah, we're Christian and our faith informs everything that we do and everything that we are. But we don't fit in a certain category. Mm. And we want to be in conversation. We want to be in dialogue. And we want to build relationships. I think that's what we've tried to focus on, no matter where we've been, is relationships. And we reach out, especially, I think, to the people who may be the most different than we are on some things.
We're visiting with Marcia Mount Shoup, who's the theologian in residence at the University Presbyterian Church, and her husband, John Shoup, the offensive coordinator for the Tar Heel football team. We'll be right back after the short break.
You're listening to Who's Talking on News Talk 1360 WCHL with your host, D.G. Martin. And now, once again, here's D.G.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about religion and sports. We've got two people involved in those activities. Marcia Mount Shoup, if you joined us late, is theologian in residence at University Presbyterian Church. Her husband, John Shoup, is the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for the Carolina football team. Marcia, as we took the break, you were talking very guardedly about religion in athletics, and the perception, at least, is that the religious people who are athletes are the kids who give God credit when they make the touch when they make mm-hmm. the touchdown, and who assemble for prayer meetings and have the perception is that they have a very strong and maybe an exclusive idea about what their religion means, that sometimes is evangelical in the sense that we're recruiting, but we're also not as accepting of other viewpoints in the Christian faith. I mean,
yes.
Might didn't say that as diplomatically as you did, but is that sort of what you were?
Yeah, I definitely think that's one of the main challenges, is this tendency to stereotype and caricature on both ends of the continuum that you're describing. And that has been one of our, as I said, challenges, is how to engage in that with integrity. I don't feel comfortable being lumped with this big blob of, you know, whatever Christianity is to some people, that all Christians think this, this, and this. I also don't feel comfortable demonizing or pushing away brothers and sisters in my faith tradition who do think differently than I do. So that's why John and I have always worked hard to engage in conversations and relationships with people. And I think some of the most challenging relationships are those where, because we do, we embody our Christianity in a way that, that seeks inclusion. And I have a deep appreciation for other world religions. I teach world religions.
Right, right. You bring some of their foreign concepts into
you. Yes, they bless me and they strengthen me in my faith. And some of the most difficult conversations are the ones in which the person of faith that I'm in conversation with doesn't have room for some mystery or some questioning about how other religions fit into the scheme of things. I think for us, and John can speak to this because he's up close with a lot of it. For me, it's not so much about what someone thinks or how they interpret their faith. It's about how they use their power. And it bothers me when I see someone abusing their power to put somebody in a corner, to push someone into a corner. And
without being specific to a situation, give us an illustration of what you're talking about.
Yes. An example would be when you have a team setting, especially in college, but also in the pros. In football, there is a pecking order. There is a hierarchy, and there are power differentials, you know. There's people with more power than others.
That wouldn't surprise any of us.
Yeah, in a college setting, that would be, you know, the coach is in charge of the players. And I think that one of the most difficult places for me is when I see someone that has more power than someone else than using faith as a tool to exert power. And I really feel like that faith creates open spaces for people to walk their own journey and that we can be witnesses along the way, but that we can't push somebody into a choice or a perspective. And so it doesn't bother me if someone thinks differently than I do. It doesn't bother me. But it what does bother me is when there's an expectation of we have to push everybody in this one direction, and we're going to use our power to do that.
Well, you grew up with, or many of us grew up in the Christian tradition, and at least in the South, that evangelism was a strong part of even mainline Christianity, and the duties to reach out to others to bring them to Christ was a pretty strong imperative. But I hear you saying that the use of power to do that is maybe not that you can evangelize in some respects, but if you're pushing people from a position of power,
be careful.
Be careful, yeah. Or don't do it, or what?
Well, first I want to say I'm an evangelist. I am evangelical. I hope that I shine the light of Christ out into the world in everything I do and everything I say. That's my prayer. I think we all find different ways to embody our beliefs and our convictions and our desire, you know. But it is the abuse of power that bothers me. And I think the abuse of power is when there's not a mutual conversation. It's more, you have to do this because I said so.
Getting beyond the boundaries of the effort in the particular athletic contest or the development of the team, but in terms of your viewpoints on religion have to coincide with mine in order for us to be a healthy team.
Right. That's problematic.
And
I
does
think,
that happen? That happens sometimes,
It happens
John?
Sometimes. I don't think it happens all the time. And I don't think it always becomes a problem. But there are little eruptions of that along the way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say it certainly happened in our past where I think sometimes I can remember being on a team early in our career where I think that some of the evangelical attitude, it was diminishing returns and it hurt the chemistry of our team when I think that some of the players and some of the people's intentions were pure and wanted to help the team. I think one of the things that's really important about sports is that, you know, we always talk as an athlete to try to leave your comfort zone. You're never going to grow or become better or better conditioned unless you leave your comfort zone. And one of the things that I really like about being on a team is that there's so many different types of people. I'm forced to leave my comfort zone just in conversation, just in being around people who don't necessarily think like I do every step of the way. And as I said before, that's something that really nurtures me. That's something that feeds me, that I really like about the team concept. And I think it's really important, and maybe this is part of what you were hitting on, Marcia, that it's the lens that you look at it through. Mm-hmm. I think that God's light shines when there is difference, when there is room for people to be themselves or to be, you know, what their faith tradition lures them towards. And that's where in those conversations with people that think differently, where I leave my comfort zone theologically, I leave my comfort zone, you know, religious-wise, that I think I grow then as a Christian listening to other faith traditions of people that I work with, of people that I coach, of families whose homes I visit, and from all over. And one of the good things, we've lived in every part of this country and seen everything that there is to see. That's really good. That's really neat. I think that's really one of the great things about sports.
Well, John Shoup, you mentioned about visiting in the homes of people, as you have to do, as you get to do, as part of your job is to be a part of the recruiting effort for Carolina football. And I wondered, in terms of what you encounter, in terms of what you see in the homes, would be a variety of interest and in religion, a variety of different religious viewpoints when they are strong. And what are parents looking for their kid in terms of any protection for the religion, any challenges for the religious point of view? I'm just trying to put myself in the place of different parents. So some of whom would want their children to be challenged, and others would want them not to be challenged or to be moved from the family faith experience. Maybe these things don't even come up. Maybe all you guys that talk about is football and the football team and the quality of education. But does religion ever become a part of that conversation?
It has become a part of that conversation. You know, I think at North Carolina, obviously, we have a great product to sell in a lot of ways, you know, academically and athletically. But I think within an education, though, is education isn't just going to a classroom. Education's the people that you're hanging around. And one of the things that I really try to talk to people about at the University of North Carolina is that this is a diverse community. If you're on this, if you're a conservative Christian, there's a place for you. But if you're a Muslim, there's a place for you. There's there's a lot of different things. This is a big state university, and I embrace that diversity. I think that's part of it. I think one of the most important things in recruiting that comes up to me is authenticity. And I think as long as parents appreciate that I'm authentic, if they have a different faith tradition than I do, I'm not pretending to be in that tradition to lure their son to play for us. I'm authentic, but I hope that I also communicate. I really respect whatever it is they believe, and I'll help their son find what it is he's looking for, what it is they're looking for within this university, because I think that it, in Chapel Hill, one of the things that drew us here was that it had a diverse population, because it is a big university.
We're visiting with John Shoup, the offensive coordinator for the Carolina football team, and his wife, Marcia Mount Shoup, the theologian in residence at the University Presbyterian Church. And we'll continue our discussion about athletics and religion after this short break.
You're listening to Who's Talking on News Talk 1360 WCHL with your host, D.G. Martin. And now, once again, here's D.G.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about religion and politics with a Carolina football coach and a Chapel Hill preacher and theologian. The preacher and theologian is Marcia Mount Shoup, and the coach is quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator John Shoup. And y'all, thank you very much for sharing about this. One of the things that I had in the back of my mind as I looked forward to this discussion was a couple of challenges that the different activities present to each other. And one of them, from the positive side of football, and the negative side of the church, that's in quotes, but when we've talked some about diversity, and you look at the particularly mainline churches like the one where you are working, lots of strengths, but diversity, you wouldn't be at the top of a list of diversity, at least in terms of ethnic and the economic mixes. On the other hand, if you look at the Carolina football team and you just open up the program and you try to make some judgments about the economic background and the geographic background, the racial background, and to some extent, if you look at the names, you can at least make some guesses about the religious background. And so you in the football team, you've got this wonderful amalgamation of diversity, maybe too much, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And then the church, where is it? Well, are both of these models okay for what they are?
Well, I should just out myself right now that I am deeply involved in the multicultural movement of the Presbyterian Church.
You're sort of maybe a moderator of that.
I'm the moderator of the National Board of the Presbyterian Multicultural Network. So I just want to put that on the table, because I don't think it's okay that mainline churches are so racially homogeneous. I do believe that to be church, we must worship and form our faith communities around all sorts of diversity, and that includes racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic, but also theological diversity. And we need to organize our communities more with more space for spiritual idiosyncrasy. And what I mean by that is just different ways of expressing our spiritual experience.
Well, I go along with you on everything, but on the question, though, on the theological diversity, you could carry that to an extreme, I guess, in terms of – or could you?
The truth is, DG, that every church that I have served, every church I've facilitated any work in, when people are honest, there's theological diversity in every church. There are those who have felt less free to express where they are with things. But I think that that diversity is already there. And one of our reasons why we're not as racially and ethnically diverse is because we haven't learned first how to tell the truth and live with one another with things out on the table about our theological diversity. So it creates sort of a, you know, more fearful way of relating to one another sometimes.
Yeah, let me just ask you this. In forming a team of any kind, including a church team, there has to be some common, something in common to bind you together that is more than just, and this is maybe a question, more than simply tolerance of each other.
Oh, yes.
And so if you don't have a consistent theological approach to things and then you're all blended and mixed up, being pulled apart by different attitudes racially, economically, from age and all kinds of other things, what is it that would, in the love of Jesus, just couldn't be enough to do that, would it be?
Oh, well, I happen to think the love of Jesus can get us pretty far. And I also think one of the things that has happened or hasn't happened enough in mainline Protestant Christianity is that we really haven't done a whole lot of testifying with one another about what Jesus has done in our lives. Mainline Protestants have tended to focus more on mission, some on social issues in a more moderate fashion. We've focused on the institution and maintenancing the institution as it is. We have committee frameworks and things like that that are all great, and good things can pop out of that system. But we're not big people on testimony. And I have found in my work in the multicultural network that is where relationships are founded and grounded, is when we can talk about
like your husband
Christian.
Was saying that the moving out of your own space I'm fearful of it because of the challenge that I might lose my grounding, and you're saying just like his experience in the football situation and the conversations he has, that the churches would be stronger if we did these things?
Yes. And I think churches that do these things are stronger, and they're more responsive. When someone of a different racial, ethnic identity walks in the door, they're just better able to respond to that.
Well, let me jump. This is a subject of a whole program, and I've got to just stop it because I'm so interested in it. But forgive me for doing this. But another thing that positive from the football perspective, and maybe a negative. I might be mischaracterizing it. But you talked about a different ethnic group or person of a representative of a different group walking in the door. Well, in the football situation, your husband's going out there to grab that person and persuade them to come in the door, and there's not much of that, a different strong – somebody who has a strong contribution to make from a positive standpoint but has a different ethnic perspective. Person's viewed as somebody we got to go get. Don't ever hear that kind of talk in the church. Or you hear the talk in the church, but you don't see much of that going on.
Right. You see lots of mission statements about inclusion in mainline Protestant churches, that we welcome everyone, our doors are open. But I like what you just said the distinction between really going out and grabbing somebody and saying, wow, you can make a difference on our team. You know, I hear John on the phone with recruits saying, I have a plan for you. You know, I know where you can fit. I know what you're going to do for us. And one of the things I try to encourage churches to think about is to, instead of seeing someone who's different that walks in the door as a challenge or a problem, what if that's God's gift to you? That person is God's gift to you. Because God has a plan for this church, and God sees exactly how that person could fit in to stretch and to grow the ministry in that place. And what I say is just view all differences as providential. And I'd never thought of it until you said that, but that's really what sports does in a way. It's like, hey, there's something we don't have. We need some more offensive linemen. You're going to fit in to this plan. And I like that. Mm. You just gave me a new way to talk about that.
Well, we're visiting with Marcia Mount Shoup, and we need to take a quick break. We'll come back and hear John Shoup's comments after this short break.
You're listening to Who's Talking on News Talk 1360 WCHL with your host, D.G. Martin. And now, once again, here's D.G.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Marcia Mount Shoup, the theologian in residence at the University Presbyterian Church, and her husband, John Shoup, the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for the Carolina Tar Heels. And I, because I'm not listening as much as I should and talking more, we're all three talking about the intersection of religion and athletics. One of the things – I want to – y'all, I'm not aiming this at either one of you in particular, but just one of the things that interests me is at the football games and the basketball games, how the performance and the whole wrap-up and the emotional involvement parallels a religious, almost a revival kind of experience, at least in emotional – or in some churches where emotion is a large part of it. But we see people who in church have a hard time even getting up to – are on their feet screaming and shouting, and they're led – Now, you have a high degree of intellectualism in terms of your job, in terms of – but are you fascinated by the what football as a religion, not just compared to religion, but as a religion where people's daily lives are – they'll go to football games but never show up in church.
Right. Right. Well, I think you hit on a few things, but I do think when – you get together for a big sporting event, and I feel it a lot. I feel it on the practice field. I feel it in a meeting room, and I especially do feel it in a stadium with 100,000 people. You're living life at full throttle, and you feel that your pulse. You feel that zest for life, and I think that's pleasing to God. I think God wants us to feel alive and not be so sedentary and not just be with people that think exactly like we think or group think. I think that there's something to living life full throttle, experiencing that incredible energy that you do get in huge stadiums that I think is pleasing to God. I think it can get distorted at times too, and I think you have to be careful because, you know, you can certainly flatline too in this business, but I really appreciate the times and in hope that one of the things that I always talk to our team about before we're about to have a big game is keep your senses open. This is why you came to college for this well walk with 80,000 people there for this stadium on national TV. This is one of the reasons that you came, and it's fun. Experience it. And have your senses on full throttle. Have everything opened up. This is what living this type of life is about, and I hope that you can appreciate it.
One of the things positive about that for me, and I have a particular political point of view, maybe on the edge, and a religious point of view on the edge, and in a particular economic strata, at that football game, I've got people totally in different sectors, religiously, politically,
no doubt,
ethnically. They've all got this blue on. They're all hollering and screaming. And all of a sudden, for a moment or two, we're all together. You know, we defined our tribe as in talking what we're going to do things for each other in that context of those who holler and scream together. And that would have to be a positive for you in your multicultural church to have that going on.
One of the great gifts of sport is in the ways that it forms us into the best human beings we can be. I think some of the bad things about sports are when it brings out the worst parts of what it can be. But we sometimes we don't appreciate that how much sports is forming us as people who do know how to live into life and our bodies and our relationships and what we can do together. That's one of the things we're going to talk about Tuesday night is just there are Christian virtues that are cultivated in us in what sports asks us to be. They can also be distorted and become kind of almost demonic. But that's one of the areas, that kind of zest for life, that really trying to push and use everything God gave you to be the best you can be. That's a Christian virtue.
Oh, guys, we've just gotten started with this conversation about religion and athletics. And I think one of the main things we found is that there's a lot to talk about. And I want to thank Marcia Mount Shute, the theologian in residence at the University Presbyterian Church, and John Shute, the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for Carolina football, for joining me. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to all y'all for listening. This is D.G. Martin. It's Who's Talking?